の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world gather around their headsets, gather around their computers, whatever it is, and listen to the podcast that turned 100! This is the 100th episode, everybody.
Yay!
Yeah, we've got a couple of, I think this is the first time in a long time we've had a trio, but I've got JD in Kyoto, and I've also got Sanjay in Hawaii. How are you guys doing? How are you doing, JD?
Hanging in there as always. It's a nice day in the capital, and hey, congratulations on episode 100.
Well, thanks for being a huge part of it, and we are going to talk a little bit about that later. But Sanjay, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and aloha from Honolulu, and congratulations on number 100. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's something I never really thought would happen, but I gotta say, right at the top of the show, thanks to JD for kind of pushing me to reach the century mark, because quite a while back, probably 20 plus episodes ago, he was like, man, I will help you, but you're getting this thing to 100. And so here we are. So I owe it to you, man, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was funny when I first came back to Japan in 2015 and started following the Tigers again. You know, this was the first baseball podcast that I happened on, and obviously that was back before I was involved, but it was always so great. And when, you know, I heard that I think episode 70, yeah, when you said you were planning on shutting it down, it was just like, no, that's not gonna happen. So yeah, glad to have been some small part in, you know, contributing to keeping it going, but let's keep it going for a little while longer too.
Let's see how we do with that. But it is definitely good to know that you picked us up pretty much from the start then, I guess, if you started listening in 2015. But we are going to do some recapping of the actual show later on in the show. But before that, we're going to hit up some rumors and news. We're going to recap the last 2 weeks of not-so-good action from the Tigers and more. So stick around.
Rumors and news.
All right, everybody. At the top of the show, we got rumors and news, and the first bit of news, I think, is hopefully some good news for the Hanshin Tigers. Not that our pitching is the problem lately anyways, but a certain Shintaro Fujinami has been pitching down on the farm. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but last Tuesday he went 5 innings pitched and had a very clean outing. And then yesterday he went 7 innings pitched, 10 hits, which is not stellar, just 2 walks. Struck out 7, I believe, and allowed 3 runs, but apparently he really settled down after the third inning. And honestly, I think, you know, these outings on the farm are not for him to necessarily show that he can shut him down, but just to get his feel for stuff again and get into game shape. And I read that next week he is going to start again on the farm against the Carp, and then if he does well in that one, there's no innings limit this time, he should be ready for a call-up.
Yeah, well, I mean, 7 innings, 10, you know, 10 hits isn't exactly pretty, but the 2 walks is a good sign, especially with Fujinami. And, you know, 3 runs over 7 innings, that's still quality start material. So I think it's clearly a step forward, and we'll see how he fares next week. But who knows? Yeah, he might be up before we know it.
I believe that they said he had pitched in order. 1 inning, 3 innings, 5 innings, and now 7 innings on the farm. So
right.
I like
That's
the
right.
progression. And they also seem to indicate that he was actually trying to pitch ground balls and getting them, which is a good sign as well. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I think he induced a couple of double plays, so that's something that he's also decided that he's going to start trying to do instead of actually trying to strike everybody out, where if you remember, like, I mean, honestly, even in 2015, but certainly from 2016 onwards, anytime that there were guys on base, it just felt like it was him against the world. And so to see him, you know, trying to trust his infielders, and I don't know how great an idea that is on the top squad. But, you know, the fact that he's turning it into a team sport, it might be a good thing for him as well. And certainly, you know, it'll do something for his endurance in games where hopefully he won't have those 40 pitch innings the way that he did at times during his struggle, years of struggle. And we're going to assume those are in the rearview mirror, right, guys?
I hope so.
It's going to be a perfect transition, and he's going to go back to superstardom, and he's going to be in the All-Star game after just one outing on the top squad. Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame material, boy. Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, like, I hear a lot of doubters and haters saying that, well, he was never any good in the first place, or Hanshin wrecked him or whatever. But, you know, like, the scouts and the pros that watch him and even pro players say he's got some of the best stuff in Japan. So, yeah, we need him. And we're looking forward to his comeback, whenever that might be. It's just exciting. It'd be great to have him back on the top squad. So, yeah, let's make it happen in July. Mm. All right, another pitcher in the news, and that would be our dear friend Pierce Johnson, PJ, who was deactivated, I think, before we ended the last show. Is that right? Like, we announced it, I think, on the last show. And he was scheduled to be back on the 17th. Which was 2 days ago, or he was eligible for reactivation. And as it turns out, he was not reactivated, and Yano has decided he needs a bit more time, and he will remain in a resting period until after Interleague. What do y'all think?
I think I saw a comment that you made on H10 on Facebook, and it is a bit worrisome that he's not up, and they don't really say why, but it doesn't seem to be anything, you know, like, it wasn't like he was a bad dude or anything like that. So I really, you know, hope the best for him and that he comes back quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like the Joey Meneses situation with the Orcs Buffaloes, where he got, apparently, you know, he has tested positive for PEDS, and he will be going back to North America. And it's not like other scandals that have hit baseball, like our boy with the Giants, what's his name, Sawamura, who choked the guy in the elevator earlier this season in a drunken rage. So, you know, PJ is a good guy, and it doesn't sound like there's injuries, and certainly I wouldn't suspect that he would be one to use PEDS either. I mean, he doesn't look the part, for one, but he just seems like a really mellow dude, that, you know, very humble guy. He always gave credit to Umeno for his good performances and his fielders, and he just seemed to be really loving Japan. So I'm a little bit taken aback by this, just because, like, if a guy needs rest, like, you'd think 10 days off for a pitcher during the middle of a season would be enough, you know, especially with Interleague providing the team with a 5-day break after the schedule ends, provided there's no rainouts. And then with the All-Star break coming pretty soon, mind you, he's on the top of the voting for mid relievers there. Anyways, I would have expected that maybe it wouldn't have taken this long for him to recover from whatever fatigue it was. So I can't help but wonder if there's some kind of injury that the team is hiding, maybe. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for now. And we will talk more about PJ and the bullpen during the recaps, because the bullpen plays a big part in what happened. Couple other news bits. Speaking of foreigners and not being on the top squad, our boy Efren Navarro... anyone heard how he's doing? I just saw the stats. He's hitting 153 on the farm. So definitely not call-up material. And I don't want to go on record and say this with joy or anything, or I don't want to say, ha, I told you so, but I think we've seen the last of him, man. I don't think he's getting a call-up the rest of the way, and I don't see him getting a contract in 2020.
Wow, I haven't actually seen his name at all, and now that you mention it, it's like, okay, maybe that's not a good sign to begin with. So, yeah, I like the guy. He looked like a solid player, you know, gap to gap kind of thing. And I would be sorry to see him go, but you're absolutely right that I've heard zero about him, and that's not a good forecast.
No, when you have Hanshin media and there's zero reports about a guy, that probably means that zero good is happening, and, well, also zero bad, but anyways, yeah. JD, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing is that Marte is performing, you know, perfectly fine, quite well, actually. I mean, I had two hits last night as well, and, you know, there's not really any other place for him, I guess, if that's what he's hitting on the farm. You know, I mean, even someone like Nakatani would probably be better on the top squad at that point. So, you know, it's unfortunate, obviously. You know, I think he contributed, he was kind of a bright spot for us last year in a, you know, pretty dismal season, so it's too bad. But, yeah, there's no place for him, I don't think, on the top squad as it is, so...
Yeah. So, you know, barring injury to Marte, and even then, I mean, the team will probably say, well, we'll just go with Haraguchi at first base, or Nakatani, or somebody else, as opposed to calling up Navarro. So, yeah, it could be that his days are numbered, but I mean, he would know that even better than we would. It's not like, you know, we've got some clever insights or anything like that. Okay, last bit of news, and this is always a fun one for me. In June, right around the middle of June, this always takes place. It's the Hankyu Hanshin Holdings General Stockholders or Shareholders Meeting, I should say. Every year, this brings out the worst in the Hanshin fans because, you know, there's a number of fans that have got their one share, and then they go to this meeting, and they feel entitled to talk about the Hanshin Tigers. Keep in mind, this is not a Hanshin Tigers shareholders meeting, right? This is like the railway. It's a big conglomerate, and yet fans all show up and talk about the most menial of things. Did you guys hear anything about this year's meeting?
I heard about the gravy for the yakitori at Koshien Stadium.
The sauce on the yakitori is too strong, and it needs to be thinned out some. Yeah, that was one. And then one person said, "I want to eat." Was it ikayaki?
Yes.
Yeah, at the stadium. And it's like, okay, like you're seriously wasting all these millionaires' time with your comment that you could have just sent in by, I'm sure you could have sent it in by email or by fax or something, and it would have had the same result. Except that this makes for a good laughable story that at this shareholders meeting, they're talking about sauce at at the stadium. The other one, the one that was actually kind of baseball related was they'd said, how come Hanshin continues to fail to acquire good players in the draft? Like the first round, there's not much you can do about, but it seems like in the second and third rounds, that's where Hanshin is losing ground on other teams. The guy made a comparison. I thought it was kind of funny. He said, you know, it's like if you go to the conveyor belt sushi, right? And you see that the good stuff, the Toro and the other ones, they're coming around, but instead of waiting for them to come around, you grab what's right in front of you. You grab like the cheapest, you know, the stuff that's just going to fill your belly right away, and you don't wait for the good stuff. And that's what Hanshin's doing. They're just grabbing for whatever sushi they can get. So, speaking of grabbing for sushi, I really wish we'd grabbed Brandon Laird in the offseason. You know, not a knock on Marte, but that would have been a nice addition as well. Anyhow, that I think is going to do it for news and rumors, for rumors and news. Thanks for listening in. Let's look back on the two terrible weeks of Hanshin Tigers baseball now in the recap. So when we left off last, we actually left on an extremely positive note, an 11-3 victory in which we hit a bunch of home runs and Messenger got win number 98, NPB win number 98, mind you. And we were hoping to continue the momentum. I believe Sanjay and I both said that the Tigers could sweep this series and coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't, right? So we got the 5-4 loss on Wednesday. And we'll talk about that one in a bit of detail in a bit. But then we also, we finished it off with a win, a 4-3 win, a late win on Thursday. So we took that series 2-1. Before we get to the kind of the cause of the loss in the Wednesday game, any thoughts on this series overall, guys?
Well, I called the first sweep too, and we didn't get it. So yeah, I got to eat crow here a little bit. We should have had it, but we didn't.
Same here.
So yeah, there's just going to be a lot of crow eating going on all around because I don't know if we can listen back on the predictions from last time, but I'd said 12-5-1 because I realized that every time that I go like kind of negative or pessimistic, the Tigers prove me wrong. And I should have just realized that sticking with that formula was best, but I said, no, you know what? I'm going to go bold and they're proving me wrong. So anyhow, yeah, in general, I thought that the Tigers played relatively well in Chiba. They didn't face the best of pitchers, but you know, we got a decent amount of scoring. Our pitching was also quite good throughout. But let's look now at the game that we lost that we could have had. And it really comes down to the top of the ninth inning. I mean, there were other chances for us to tie up the game and it didn't happen. But the big one was the top of the ninth. And so Marte led it off with a single. And then I think Kai Ueda came in as a pinch runner. Not I think. I mean, that's quite obvious that it was him. He stole second base. He advanced to third base on a grounder to second by Umeno. It was clearly an intentional ground out by Umeno to advance the runner to give us a greater chance at bringing Ueda home. Takayama comes to the dish, and he hits a line drive to left field. JD, what happened?
Well, Ueda got a bit of a too big of a jump, didn't he? And he couldn't make it back to base in time and got doubled off.
Yes. Actually, what I read and I heard on the Japanese Tigers cast was that the sign came from the bench. And there's multiple options on signs in these situations, kind of hit and run type situations. One of them is called the gorogo, which means that when the guy in the box, as soon as he hits the ball and as soon as the ball touches the ground, no matter where it touches the ground, you go. Mm-hmm. So like it's a grounder, go on ground, not go on contact. But the other one is atarigo, which basically means run on contact. No matter what contact, you go. And it's kind of the Forrest Gump move of just saying run, Forrest, run. And man, I feel like Kai Ueda is kind of a Forrest Gump of sorts because he's committed other blunders on the base pass. And it's almost like the team just says, you get out there and you run, Forrest, run. And then he runs and then, you know, we have all sorts of chaos. So he ran on contact like he was supposed to. What I can't help but wonder is, A, didn't he notice on contact that the ball was, you know, a line drive and that there was a chance it could be caught? Because if so, he should have stopped dead in his tracks. And B, why do you have to make such a call when you've got a guy as fast as Kai Ueda on base? Because they weren't playing really shallow infield depth, right? So, I mean, any grounder, any ball, like if they had just said go on grounder, he would have made it. And then when that ball was hit, he would have said, oh, not a grounder, don't go. He would have been on third base, and he probably could have tagged up because the guy had to dive to catch it. He would have tagged up and made it home. So I thought it was a sketch call. And also sketch judgment by Forrest. So, real bummer because that could have been it. That could have been a sweep right there and given us huge momentum heading into the next series against the Nippon-Ham Fighters. Unfortunately, the momentum was somewhat killed by that. As I said, we won on Thursday, a late win. I think they tied it up and then we won it in the top of the... Was it the 10th?
Was it? Yes, yeah.
It top of the was. And then Shimamoto got... his first career save in that one. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. It's good. Okay, so we'll take 2 out of 3. That's, you know, it's better than the opposite, and especially on the road and starting interleague. So let's bring it home to Koshien and face the Fighters. Tell us what went down there, Sanjay.
All right, well, I'll keep this one short and sweet, I guess. June 7 at Koshien. The Fighters started Arikawa, and our boys started Nishi. And you know what? I have to say, props to Nishi. I didn't realize he was as quiet as Studley as he has been. And I want to make sure that it is noted that I'm very impressed by what he has been able to accomplish despite his win and loss record, which actually didn't improve today or on that day, on June 7th, because we lost 3-2 and Nishi gave up 3 earned runs, which, you know, in the big scheme of things, when you're a pitcher, that's a quality start. He ended up being 3-5 on the year as a result of that game. And they had 10 hits. We had 5 hits. You don't win many games doing that math. So that was game number one.
3 errors for us in that one, by the way, yeah.
3 errors, yes. Next day, supposed to be a better day. Iwata started. He was looking good. And then the wheels came off. And he was left in there to give up 8 earned runs. So we lost 10-5. The silver lining is that we came back with a few runs, the 2 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th, I believe. So there was that, but really, when you give up 10 runs, then you're not celebrating. So 2 against the Nippon-Ham Fighters, gomennasai, didn't work out so well. But the next day, June 9th, as we all know, it starts with, well, I don't know where it starts with because I didn't see the whole thing, but you guys can fill in the blanks for me. But Kyuji came in and asked, basically, to stay in for both the 8th and the 9th innings. Shut him down. Mm-hmm. And in the bottom of the 9th, with 2 out and man on 2nd and 3rd, who gets the call? It's our boy, Gucci. And he comes in and he gets his sayonara walk-off hit. And boy, were the tears flowing all over the place. This was storybook material. It was, you know, when's Disney going to make the movie? I want to know.
Yeah, well, so I know that whenever the Hanshin Tigers, a story of their game makes the Japan Times, which is in Tokyo, the English newspaper, you know, and it's not a Giants game, then we're doing something well. So because they never write about the Tigers unless it's the Giants or something huge. And so this was a huge one. You know, like you said, it was definitely storybook material. And before that, though, we also had the Umeno stealing of third base, which was just, that was huge. It was so awesome. You know, he just read the pitcher well, realized he wasn't really being paid attention to, and he stole third base. What is up with Umeno stealing the bases like it's like, you know, like he's some Chikamoto or something. It's just been crazy. So we lose that series anyways, 1-2, but at least we ended the week on a high note, right? So that was kind of nice. Any comments on this one, JD, or?
Nothing in particular aside from, yeah, it was just great to see that walk off by Haraguchi, man. It was emotional enough seeing him come back, and then for him to do it this time, the actual walk off was just amazing to see. So yeah, welcome back, buddy. He's been good, so good to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we end the first week of Interleague with 3 wins and 3 losses, which is, it's barely acceptable. I guess it's okay, especially because the Ham Fighters are actually a pretty good team, and they were on quite a roll. So it would have been nice to take 2 of 3, but okay, 3 and 3. And we go up against the best team of the decade, really, the SoftBank Hawks, and we're playing in their barn to start out the next week. So I'm feeling a little bit pessimistic because it looks like we're starting to lose momentum. We go in with Randy on Tuesday, and we've got a 2-1 lead heading into the bottom of the 9th, and Randy is still sitting at 90-some pitches. So he gets the call for the bottom of the 9th, and with 2 outs and a runner on 2nd base, they get a hit. Imamiya gets the hit, and old man Fukudome tried to dive and catch, and he just barely missed. He caught it on a real short hop. So tie game, and then the relievers hung on for the rest of it. Kyuji and Ono and Nomi and Dolis, and we couldn't get any runs in, so it was a 2-2 tie to start that one. The next day, though, was the big one for us. Umeno with his announcing his homecoming. He's a Fukuoka boy, and he said, "Hi, I'm home, and watch what I can do." Hits a 2-run home run in the 4th inning, gets another 2-run RBI in the 6th inning, and just leads the way for the team. Itohara with an RBI, Haraguchi with an RBI, and then the big one, the one that nobody believed. Everyone was rubbing their eyes saying, what is this stuff that I smoked, or, you know, what was in the brownies? Because Kai Ueda, Forrest Gump himself, hits a 2-run home run from the left side of the plate, no less, in the top of the 8th, and that was just the final nail in the coffin for the Hawks. But he hit it against former Tiger Ryoma Matsuda. What a shocker. That was just unbelievable, and I mean, that's the highlight of Interleague as far as I'm concerned. Oh wait, other than Haraguchi's walk-off hit. Okay, and then we end the series with Haruto Takahashi on the mound against their Kotaro Otake, and we got dominated in the batter's box. We only managed 2 hits all game, and they got hits when it mattered. But Haruto was incredible through 6 innings. I think he is 1-hitting them through 6 innings. And then on an 0-2 count, It was an 0-2 count. He threw an outside pitch that was barely outside. Some people thought for sure it was a strike. It was called a ball. The very next pitch, Gracial hit into the left field stands, just absolutely hammered the ball. But it wasn't a terrible pitch. It was an excellent hit. And so we lost that one 3-0. So we tie the Hawks in Fukuoka. 1 win, 1 loss, 1 tie. So on the in Interleague now, we're 4-4-1. So not too bad. And looks like things could get better. And we head into Kyocera Dome, our home away from home, to face the Oryx Buffaloes. Take it away, JD.
The Dome away from home. Yeah, well, you'd think things would get better, and I said that we would be sweeping the Buffaloes, and there was almost a sweep, but not the one that you would want as a Tigers fan. We end up dropping the first 2 games and then tying the last one to this pathetic Buffaloes team. So I actually watched pretty much all of this one, this series, but it was really tough to stomach it. So just to get through it as quickly as possible, on the 14th, we send Nishi to the mound, and quickly in the bottom of the first, he gives up a 2-run home run to Romero, or is it Marrero? I always get the two of them confused. Romero
yeah.
Is up there now, yeah. So, he buckles down after that and pitches quite well. The Tigers put up 2 runs in each of the 2nd and 7th, so we're at 4-2, but then he gets into some trouble in the bottom of the 8th. I believe he allows one more run to get in before being replaced by Fujikawa, who promptly ties the game with a wild pitch. And then there were runners on base as well, and he gave up a hit after that to bring the score to 6-4. So we dropped the first game of the series. I don't really have anything else to say about that one. Move on to the next day. Once again, the Oryx strikes first against Iwata, who was on the mound for us that day, with 1 run in the first. But that was all they got for the duration of the game. The Tigers put up runs in the 4th and 6th, respectively. And then in the bottom of the ninth, we bring Dolis in, and we just had one of those days, unfortunately. I believe he allowed a base runner, and then he fumbled the ball, or it was a bad throw, was it? I wasn't watching this this one inning, actually.
Bad throw.
Yeah, it was a bad throw. So that allowed another runner on base, and the Oryx then tied it up on a hit, I believe, and then walked it off with a sac fly again by Romero. So we lose this one 3-2. Definitely a heartbreaker, and also an ugly three in the errors column there. The Tigers' defense has just been atrocious lately, and this one definitely affected the outcome of the game. So we go into the final game of the series, hoping we can salvage something from it, and Garcia's on the mound for this one. And he ends up, in the fourth and the fifth, he ends up giving up a total of five runs. But again, only two of those, I believe, were earned. Because he almost made it out of the fifth with there are two outs and runners on first and second. And there's a ground ball hit right to Hojo, who completely fumbled it, ended up with the bases loaded. And then Garcia gave up a couple hits after that to bring Oryx up to 5-0. We came back. We put up three runs in the seventh and then moved to the our last chance in the ninth inning. And good old Fukudome comes in, almost won, or almost put up the winning run anyway. He hammered a ball to center with runners on first and second, I believe. And so he brought home two runs, almost had that home run. It was really close. But that's when that's how this one stayed 5-5 through to the end of the game. And yeah, ended up tying it. It was funny. And if you look at the hits column, Tigers had three hits. Oryx had 13 hits, but we both had five runs. Again, another error for us there. So really just a terrible showing by the Tigers overall. Just not a fun series to watch. And yeah, the lowly Buffaloes almost sweep us right back out of the dome.
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. And I'm calling the GOAT of the series on Yusuke Oyama, even though he got some hits. He went again, man, when it comes down to it and he's got chances, he is not performing at all. He had a chance in the 12th inning on Sunday. He had chances pretty much in every game. He had a chance to extend the lead on Saturday. He didn't do that. And then, yeah, I think on Friday also, I think we were up quite a bit and we were up a couple runs and he had a chance to put it away. And I think he failed to do it again there. So, man, I don't know. Yeah, he hit into a double play in the eighth inning. That was it. And that was the momentum changer on Friday. Because we had runners on first and second with no outs, and he hit into a double play, and that was it. And then they scored four in the bottom of the inning. So I'm not, you know, that's not entirely on him either, but I think he also committed an error in that game. So he definitely had a bad one. And then, I think it was Sunday in the tie game where Itoi got intentionally walked to put runners on base on first and second, and Oyama ended the game, or at least ended the offensive side of the game for us, with a strikeout because he had a chance to give us the lead. And so, yeah, and Oyama's blunders continue on Tuesday, which we're going to look at right now. That was yesterday's game in Kurashiki in Okayama Prefecture, and we had Randy Messenger on the mound up against the Rakuten Eagles. Could have been a pretty good game. It actually was not too bad of a game. Like, it was pretty seesaw for at least for the start of it. Like, the lead went back and forth. Randy actually gave up a two-run home run. Chikamoto hit a home run for us to tie it up. And so it was 3-3 heading into the eighth inning, and hometown boy Koki Moriya blew it in the eighth inning. Where there was a bit of a controversial call, right, JD, a decision by our right fielder with one out and runners on second and third. What did Mr. Itoi do?
Well, he went and caught a ball that was flying foul, which allowed the runner to tag up and make it home, and that was the go-ahead run. And, sack, you know, fly, I was thinking about it. Yeah, it was sack fly. So I was thinking about it, and I guess, you know, it's a ballpark they're unfamiliar with, so the only thing I can assume is that Itoi just wasn't really sure if it was going to fall foul or not, because it wasn't that far foul. But at the same time, you know, if he had just let it fall, things could have turned out totally differently. Apparently Shimizu, the head coach, was also saying that, yeah, they're obviously, we tell everybody not to catch those, so he was kind of scratching his head about it a little bit. But you know, I don't know, I didn't read any comments by Itoi, so I don't know what was sort of going on in his head, but maybe he just wasn't sure. if it was actually foul or not, and that's why he caught it. But
I don't know if much goes on in that boy's head, though.
Okay, maybe I'm being a little too charitable here. But yeah, that could have been the difference in the game right there. I mean, you know, sometimes some little thing like that would allow Mordia to sort of calm down and maybe get through it, but wasn't the way it happened.
Yeah. Interesting play in the top, pardon me, the bottom of the third, was it? In the bottom of the first, when Marte hit the opening RBI single for us and Oyama rounded second and headed for third, the cutoff throw came and he got caught in a chase down and he actually went head first into Hideto Asamura during that kind of rundown. Asamura actually missed the ball, so Oyama would have made it back to second base safely if his head hadn't found Asamura's rib cage. Did you guys see that?
I saw a picture of them writhing on the ground afterward.
Okay.
No, I didn't see that. I tuned in just after that.
Oh, it was pretty ugly. It was kind of scary. But again, I don't know, man. I mean, Oyama is not the brightest of base runners either. He's made his share of blunders on the base paths as well. And you can chalk it up to lack of experience. But, you know, there's going to come a day and time and day. There's going to come a time when that's no longer an acceptable excuse. And I don't even think it's acceptable anymore. So it's really unfortunate. And I hate to really be so hard on Oyama, but I'm expecting more from the guy, and he is just not putting up when it counts. I think I'm going to start calling him 8 o'clock Oyama, because it seems like after 8, he's terrible. he just can't get her done. I don't know if it's his bedtime or what. So it's kind of unfortunate. Anyhow, that's the recap. And so during the course of this fortnight, in which we had high expectations, the team actually only won 3 games and tied 2 games, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we were 3-6-2 during this time. Not impressive, and we find ourselves near the bottom of the interleague standings. The only bit of good news in that is that who is at the bottom of the interleague standings?
Hiroshima, yes.
Yeah, what is up with them being so awful? I don't know. Like, I'm smiling as I say this, because who wouldn't smile as they say this, right? Unfortunately, the downside is that the Yomiuri Giants are actually having a pretty strong interleague, and so they've actually taken over first, at least as of today. And the Tigers, I believe, find themselves, what, 3.5 back? So we're 2 games above 500. I was hoping that we could find our way out of interleague, you know, at least 5 games above 500, if not, you know, 6. But that's looking pretty unlikely. I mean, we have to go on a major tear here, and I don't know if that's going to happen, especially given our tendency to lose on Saturday. I think we're 2-10 on the year on Saturdays.
Holy crap,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad I'm going to the game on Friday anyways, so hopefully things will go well there. Anyhow, let us move on. Right now we are going to look at what we think Yano could have done better. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Wait, what did we just do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
Well, I was thinking, this was admitted by Yano himself. He left Nishi in there too long and messed up that particular outing for him and for the team. And, you know, I can see kind of where he's coming from, but that was not a good look.
You know, all these moves with pitchers are all either the right decision or the wrong decision in retrospect. Until we see the results, it's really hard to say one way or the other. So on one hand, yeah, I'm going to say that. And you know, we've been burned by that several times in this interleague. And you can see that this bullpen that we have that is supposed to be so strong is not playing against the Pacific, you know. And you know, you could say that it's because PJ's out, and that is definitely part of it. But, I mean, these guys that had ERAs sitting in the twos, or guys that were, you know, having no problems with Central League hitting are having all sorts of problems with the PL. So, obviously, this shows a bit of a gap in the power between the two leagues. We were, I think, heading into interleague like 23-2 when leading after 5 innings. And now, I don't know how many times in this interleague we have lost leads, but several. So obviously that has become a problem for this team, but I'm not gonna say that is a Yano. I kind of feel that is the case, but I think what I'm gonna go with is Yano's stubbornness, and this is for better or for worse. And you know, he's the wise man and I'm not, but Chikamoto went 0-23 did not walk a single time during those 23 plate appearances during a stretch here, and remained the leadoff hitter, did not get a day off. If you're going to give PJ 10 days off for fatigue, why don't you give your rookie, who has never played this many games, some time off, man? I mean, give him the day off, drop him in the order. You got to do something, because 0 for 23 means five straight games of never getting your leadoff guy on base. And he ended a ton of rallies. So even though I'm kind of not sold on Oyama being the number four hitter, I definitely wasn't sold on him keeping Chikamoto in there. I understand, you know, you want guys to work through their slumps and stuff like that, but you also have to sometimes say, look, we're playing to win. You know, we're not playing to develop you on the top squad right now. We've got to win games when we can win games. And so, like, even pulling him for a pinch hitter might have been medicine for him to say, hey, look, like, you haven't gotten a hit in 18 at-bats. We are finding someone that we can trust. Or even just tinkering with the lineup a little bit more. I'm looking at guys like Hojo and Kinami, and I understand that they are young and the future of the team, but the number of errors those guys have put up, it just, you can't defend them anymore. And I never thought I'd say this, but Toritani, shortstop, hello, he's sitting on the bench rotting. And he's at least... I say this because he's on the bench, but he's more reliable than those two guys. And I know that it's not, you know, win this year or win never. And I know that you want to develop these guys, but, you know, give them a couple days off and let them watch the master at work. Let them see Toritani play. And I would take that at least for a game or two during Interleague. It's kind of too late now, but it could have been something that he could have done. But instead, he's stuck with the same lineup, despite the fact that the team has been atrocious, especially like on the field and at the plate. They've been atrocious at both.
Yeah, that's about the only thing I could think of, too. I wasn't really going to knock Yano as much as I was going to say. I'm really just sick of watching our shortstops just bumble about there like idiots, like in the field half the time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd necessarily feel good with Toritani in there. But even who even knows? You know, maybe see if Itohara can handle short for a little while and put Uemoto in at second. Just do something to get some of those defensive liabilities out of the field for a little bit, because they're costing us games. And
Itohara short and Uemoto second is actually kind of my dream lineup. So yeah, I'm all for that.
No, I was gonna say that actually I just read something that pointed out, how long do you keep Toritani where he is, taking up a full roster spot on the top squad?
And doing nothing, yeah.
Because you have, what, four shortstops now and not enough outfielders. And, you know, at some point you got to make that decision. So to your point, yeah, the Interleague should have been the time when maybe Toritani gets some time on the field. But now that that's about to finish, where do we go from here?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's not just Kinami and Hojo, but mind you, they've combined for 18 errors. You know what I mean? Like, we're way less than halfway through the season. They haven't even been the only guys at shortstop this year, and they've got 18. So, I mean, you know, combined, they're on pace for like 40, which is absolutely atrocious. And then Oyama himself has got 13. So he's not exactly, you know, playing that stellar defense that he was supposedly known for, you know. So yeah, that left side of the infield that I thought was going to be quite good this year has been pretty porous, has been just awful.
Yeah, and we're I believe we're last, if not in the entire MPB, we're definitely last in the league in terms of errors committed and stuff like that. So, or first, I guess I should say, we've got the most errors committed. So there's got to be something, you know, it's got to be in Yano's mind here. We got to do something about that, because it's a big problem.
Trade for Yamato. Trade for Yamato.
I don't know about that, but.
No, I don't either. But anyways, yeah. So that's the Yano for you, everybody. I don't know. What do you think? Is there anything else that kind of bugged you in the past fortnight, especially in terms of managerial positions? Hit us up with a comment. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. And now on to the hot topic, and it's really only hot in the H10 world because we're turning 100. This is the 100th episode of Hanshin Tigers English News H10, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world gather together. So this is it. We started this show in 2015, July the 19th of 2015. So as JD said in the opener, when he came back to Japan in 2015, this was one of the first pods in his rotation. So have you been listening pretty much from the start, man?
Not from the very start, but I think I probably started around maybe September of that year, maybe a little bit after.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was pretty much, I mean, there's a couple other MPB podcasts that I would give a shot, but nothing ever really obviously focused on Tigers as much. And just the, you know, T-Ray's got the charisma, man. It's always been a joy to listen to. So yeah, I've been listening steadily ever since then until I actually, you know, got involved in the production of the podcast myself.
I don't know if I'd call it charisma. Listen to this clip and tell me what you think. Welcome to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is Sunday, July 19th for us. Not sure what the date is for you, but I hope you're going to enjoy our show. We are starting out here with just two of us. It's myself and another guy that I'm going to introduce real briefly. Or I'm going to let him introduce himself, actually, real briefly. So go ahead, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody out there?
All right, what's going on, T-Ray? It's Mike. I'm down here in Hiroshima, Japan.
Yeah, okay. So how long you been out in Hiroshima, in that area?
This is actually my fourth year that I've been out here. I love it. You know, it's supposed to be 3 years, and I decided to stay here just a little bit longer. So for right now, it's you know, going on my fourth year, and looking forward to many more out here.
All right, awesome, man. So where are you from originally, anyways?
Originally from Brownsville, PA. It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania.
All right. So, did you grow up as a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, or were you fan of other sports? Or...
So that was from episode one, and oh man, like it just sounds so different than it does today, doesn't it? I like to think, anyways, that we've made some progress. But you know, I started this podcast just kind of on a whim. I was listening to Taigaza Kyasto, which is the Japanese kind of version of what we do. And of course, they do it much better, and they're a much larger group than we are. But I just thought it was really fun to listen to them talk Tigers, and I couldn't get enough of it. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And the audio quality was terrible. The commentary was not so great. I could not find steady co-hosts for a while, or at least people that I felt were a good fit. And that's with all due respect to those who have stepped in, and they are going to get full mention pretty soon. But yeah, it's been a while, you know, so we actually shut it down after episode 70, as JD mentioned earlier as well. And I think I brought it back for the playoffs that year for, that was 2017, so I did up to episode 73. And then I thought that was going to be it, but JD was like, hey man, you got to do this. And actually, episode 74, though, was the debut of none other than Sanjay.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
We were sitting in a cafe or whatever in Ashiya, and just talking Tigers before the 2018 season, and we felt pretty optimistic about what ended up being a pretty bad season. But that was our first time meeting and our first time actually really talking about the Tigers face-to-face, and I thought it went pretty well. And so I'm glad to have you on as part of the show now as well, Sanjay. Have you got any memories of the show, or like tell us when you started listening, or any impressions or anything?
Well, no, the whole thing was the Facebook group, and you know, H10 and Hanshin Tigers game day kind of, to me, were hand in hand at the time.
They were, yeah.
Being overseas and not being able to see everything, you know, in person, I felt like I'd found my long lost family. You know, it was like, wow,
oh, nice.
Here's a bunch of people who get it, you know. So kudos to you for doing this, and yeah, it's an oasis for me.
Yeah, bringing the community together is kind of what I wanted to do anyway, so I'm glad to have done that. So, you know, through the years, I guess 4 years now, I've actually been able to have a total of, I think right now, four former Hanshin Tigers on the show. One of them was current at the time, but we started in episode 14 with Gene Backe, who, if you don't know, played with the Tigers from 1962 to 68. Legend and wonderful man. And then in episode 36, we got Matt Haig, who was currently with the Tigers at the time. He was farmed at the time, so we sat down and talked a little bit just about his life. We didn't actually do anything controversial because I didn't want to get him in trouble for sure. And it would have been nice to get the attention from the team, but I didn't want to do it at a player's expense. So we got Matt Merton in for interviews on episodes 50 and 51, which was at the end of 2016 and the start of 2017. And then more recently, George Arias in episode 91, which was this year. I think it was just before the season started. We had a talk with him as well. Other guests that we've had on, we've had Peter Gibson, superfan down from Down Under in Australia, in episode 15 Extra. We've had Stephen Green, the CEO of Rock Core. We've had Aki Bubek, who was at one time the songwriter of one of our theme songs that we used, I think as the closer. And we also had author Bill Kelly, William Kelly. He was on episode 90 to talk about his book, The Sports World of the Hanshin Tigers, which, if you have not picked up, you must. And also, for all of our Japanese listeners out there, the book is coming out in Japanese, I believe, later this week. So be on the lookout for that. I think it's called Tora to Batto. So be on the lookout for that. So there you have it. The other thing that I wanted to talk about here was who we have had in as co-hosts or guest hosts. And so I'm going to run through the list of guys that had either one-time shots or just like kind of shorter appearances. We've had Michael E., who was in Tokyo at the time. We had Eric Lord, who was one-time part of the Oendan of the Hanshin Tigers and is back in America now. We had James Brown, who feels pretty good, but it wasn't that one. He's a guy in the UK who used to be in Osaka. We've had Tom Zilla. We've had Patrick, who used to do NPB Tracker. We've had, Raka-san, who is a Bay Stars fan. We also had some other fans from other teams, like we had Kozo from the Swallows, Stewart from the Carp, and we had a guest from the Dragons, who was a blogger for the Dragons as well. And then we also have had Christian Jin, who's going to be at the game on Friday with us. He has done a ton of extra recording for us to give us some PL previews and such. Who's also been on the show multiple times. Now, as far as guys that have been on the show fairly regularly, I'm going to run you through the top five of co-hosts for H10. So coming in at number five, and it's a two-way tie, we have got my boys, Jimbo and Zorni. These are guys that have been with me pretty much from the start and have been real contributors on the website as well with graphic designs. Jimbo actually does the jingles for the show, so kudos to you guys, four times each. And then coming in at number four and with us today, and including today, he's got five appearances, and that would be Sanjay.
Wow, I have five.
Yes. So you're number four, but you're quite far down the list because third is actually quite a bit higher than you. So we'll have to do this podcast until around 2023 for you to catch up.
I won't take it personally.
So number three is actually the original sidekick co-host, who would be Wizzo, who is with me from the start, from episode one, and his most recent one was episode 23. So between one and 23, he was a sidekick for 17. Couldn't have started it without him because otherwise it would have been just me talking. And I don't know how much fun that would have been. Yeah, that's number three. And then actually the guy who kind of took over from him, just time-wise, it worked out well that Joe, if you remember him, he jumped in, I think, somewhere around episode 21 or so. And he went for 22 episodes, and his most recent was episode 50, which was the Merton interview plus the two-year anniversary of the show. So that was two full years ago already. And then actually, sorry, tied with Joe is our boy, who's with us today as well.
Hey,
and that would be JD, right, with 22. Yeah, so including today, this is your 22nd time on the show out of 100.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
So if and when we do 101, you are moving into sole possession of first place.
Nice, nice, nice.
The U show is yours, yeah.
Well, I didn't start off too hot, I don't think. It's harder. People don't really realize how tricky it is to just like jump right in and give sort of smooth and, I guess, insightful commentary, you know, which is why I've always been so impressed with your work, T-Ray. But, you know, I feel like I've settled in a little bit at this point. So hopefully I can continue to contribute on the show and behind the scenes, obviously doing the editing and whatnot. So yeah, let's keep it going.
That's a huge part of it for sure. And you know, just so you all know, like if you go back and listen to my episode 22 and I don't recommend that you do, but it's pretty bad. It's not what it is now, and so you can kind of see that it does take a while to get into a groove. Certainly I've always felt good about what I've recorded, but last night I listened back to some of the stuff and I don't feel good about it anymore. So yeah, and just for the record, I have done 23 solo shows where I have had no guest host, and so yeah, those were probably the hardest ones. But I can remember there was a stretch where I was doing them from my office in Himeji at my workplace, and I would just record it after class, and then I would mix it on the way home on the train. So good times, but certainly I like this a lot better. So let's see how we do. I'm not sure how much farther we're going to get past episode 100. I make no promises moving forward, but for now, we've got a good time slot to do a recording. We've got good desire to do a recording. I've got some great co-hosts right now, and we should have a couple of guests lined up for the rest of this season as well. So look forward to hearing more from us. But right now, we are going to bring you live from Koshien, where we're going to talk to some of the people in the Ponta deck. Hey, we are at Koshien here, H10 fans, Hanshin Tigers fans. This is, as you know, episode 100, and this is June the 21st, Friday night. The Tigers are up 5-3, heading into the top of the ninth, and we have Dolis on the mound, of course. And with me, in the Ponta deck, is...
JD, coming at you. It's been an interesting game. Nishi wasn't his typical really sharp self, but he wasn't terrible either. Made it through, what, five innings, I think?
Or
six innings?
Six, yep. Yeah. Quality start.
And Tigers went ahead on a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch, so it hasn't been incredibly exciting in a lot of ways, but
no.
But hey, we're ahead, so we'll take it.
Yeah, and with us on my other side is somebody whose voice you've heard on the show probably at least six, seven, eight times, maybe even 10. Christian from Graveyard Ball.
Oh, hello, guys. What's up? I'm right here in the deck visiting on enemy territory here. It's been great.
This is our first time meeting face-to-face, and Christian taking in his first Koshien game ever. And his beloved Lions are down, too. But it's been a close game, and it's been an exciting game for sure on both ends. And as JD said, it's not been a particularly well-played game. We got a couple of runs off of a couple of errors by the Lions, which I feel is uncharacteristic. But what do you think, Christian? Is that, like, pretty typical?
Yeah, this was very uncharacteristic. I mean, Gendo committed the big error. Kota Takahashi is kind of forgivable, but Gendo dropping the ball, he did that for two consecutive games now at the point. So that's very unlike him for a guy that's known for his defense.
And I would say it's kind of unlike the Tigers that we actually have no errors on the board at this point. Like, lately we've been committing errors left and right, but we have not committed a single one today. And it looks like we're going to get our first out. Yep. What you heard right there, that's the first out of the ninth inning. So hopefully there's no more errors from the Tigers and we can keep it going and win this one.
Hey, so we're here on the deck, and we started with 16 people, and we're down now to about, what, just over 10. I'm gonna bring this around and talk to a few more people just about how things are going.
I'm not hallucinating, though.
How you doing, buddy? Everybody, you have not heard this voice on the show in a while, but...
I'm back just for this one. I wouldn't miss the Century Mark podcast. I wouldn't.
There you go. It's Wizzo, if we can still call you that, at least for today.
I think we'll go with Wizzo. Mr. Picture Man, it was there, but you know, we'll retire that one and go back to Wizzo. I actually like it a little bit better.
The Wiz, yeah. So how you been? You're back. You're living in Japan now. Is that right?
I'm back. I'm living in Japan. I am retired from the military, so I can actually come to Japan and enjoy it and not have to worry about anything. Just get drunk, take the train home, and I'm good. That's it.
And we're probably going to see each other at games a little more than we have. But, you know, we went to a few back in the day, and now we're back here. So it's good to see you again. How are you feeling about tonight's game?
Well, they've done good.
Keep it clean.
Yes, true. They've done good. We've got lucky on some things. Overall, we haven't made any fatal errors. We haven't made any mistakes. So if we win, great. That's all that matters in the end. So we just got to, you know, we just got to keep scoring, man. We got to produce runs. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, Wizzo, thanks for joining us today. And it's in case you don't know, and many of you may not, because unless you've been around since the beginning, you don't know that actually me and Wizzo were the original start of H10 way back in July of 2015. And he stuck it out with me for about a year or so through about episode 23. And it's good to have you back, man. Thanks for joining tonight.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Honestly, I did. You know, coming into this thing, I had no idea what to expect. you know, and when, you know, I left off, it just, I mean, you've really hit the stars, man. So you've done good. You got a great fan base. I think it's only going to get bigger. You know, your interaction with the people are great. So I think it's really going to just continue to go towards the next planet, man. It's really going to be a great thing.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Yep.
All right, I got a couple of Alexes here, so nice to talk to you guys. We are doing some podcast recording right now, so I just want to talk to you guys about your life as a Tigers fan and stuff, and how you're feeling about tonight's action so far.
It's pretty awesome. It's been a tight game, but the Tigers are ahead, and it's looking good.
And it's about to get electric in here, because I think we are going into the Ato Hitori count pretty soon here. So, other Alex, any thoughts?
So far this year, every time I've been to a Tigers game, they've pulled out a win, so hoping to make it 3 in a row, but it's not over till it's over, so just hoping that they hold it together until the end.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, that's right. And so Alex and I were actually at the opening night game and really enjoyed that, and we're going to try and stick this out with you all. We're going to keep the interviews going over the noise until all the balloons release. So here we go. We got some more people right here. Hey, my good friend, Anita, who has been a fan of the Tigers and a fan of H10 and a big supporter. How you doing, girl?
I'm so glad to be here tonight. And we're near. We're so near. I'm really hoping we can pull this off in the next
hour. Yeah, for sure. Well, we got two strikes to go or one out to go. Anita, if you don't know, is a good friend of mine, but also has been a huge supporter of what I do, always encouraging me, and like anytime I was running out of steam, she was there with a word, and you know, it's been great. So I just want to express thanks to you for being a fan.
To you.
Yeah, yeah, and 100th episode.
That's
right here.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thanks for being a part of it. And now we're going to switch over into some Japanese interviewing. So I'll just let you know, I'm going to ask these guys who they are. And then I'm going to ask them if they know anything about H10 and if they ever listen to the show. So here we go. Ato hitori desu ne.
Ato hitori desu. Ato 2球.
Ato 2球 ka. Hi. This is Wainao from the Tigers cast. And we're getting ready for the Ato 2球 call. So, Wainao-san wa Hanshin Tigers English news wa kiita koto arimasu ka? Never listened to it before. Demo, kekko gaikokujin senshu suki desu ne.
Daisuki desu ne.
Yeah, so he loves the foreign players, but he's never listened to our show. He's got a Marte wristband. He's got a messenger towel on. There we go. That was a clean inning as I've seen in a while from Rafael Dolis, but it's over. We got the win. We broke the losing streak. So, anyways, Wainao-san, arigatou gozaimasu. 次は TD-san です。TD-san はまたタイガースキャストのポッドキャスターなんですけど、僕のポッドキャストに一回ゲストとして来ませんか？
そうですね。いい加減出ないと怒られそうなんで、はい。
All right, so we're gonna get TD on our show sometime. You know, he said he's about to get in trouble if he doesn't. So I really appreciate that. H10 は聞いたことありますか？
聞いたことあります。はい。
理解度はどのぐらいですか？
アリアスが出てました。
So he heard the episode where George Arias was on, and so yeah, I appreciate it. まあいつものあのサポートとかはいあのこの友情も感謝してます。
はい。
ありがとうございます。はい。次は新球さん。この前新球さんの MC の時にゲストとして出させてもらったんですけど、はい、僕のキャストにも出てもらえませんか？
英語は喋れないのでノーサンキューでお願いします。
ノーサンキューで、まあ、マルテグッドとかでもいいんですよ。
ね、聞いててもあんなに喋れないから無理だよ。
了解です。でもこれで、H10 は100回目終わりましたよ。
そうなんですね。
はい。
おめでとうございます。
ありがとうございます。So he's congratulated me for the 100th episode, and yeah, it's awesome having friends of all cultures and of all walks of life and doing all sorts of different stuff. So I got two more here. We've got Larissa and Hiro.
Yep.
And we are on episode 100 of HDN right now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So awesome. When was the first time you heard about what I was doing?
The podcast or the Facebook?
Anything. Yeah.
2015, maybe?
Wow, so really early on. Yeah. And Larissa's been kind of an active part of the Facebook community for a while. And do you ever listen to the podcast? You be honest.
No. Okay. But I will now because I'm in this episode.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Me too.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks a lot. Good win today.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I'm back with JD, and we are about to get some Hiro interview going on. And like we said earlier, we have no idea who the hero is going to be because nobody really stood out.
Yeah, nobody really stood out. I mean, the go-ahead run was by an Umeno hit by pitch. I'm thinking probably one of the pitchers, the relievers, Iwazaki or Fujikawa is the only ones I can really think of. Or Delise, maybe, I guess we're getting the same.
Maybe the trio, you know, the three that came in. I think the win goes to Iwazaki because he was on the mound in 7.
Yep.
Anyways, we are going to sign off here and go back to the studios to wrap up the show. So thanks for tuning in, and it's been a good run to up to 100.
Yeah, happy 100th, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we hope you continue to listen for however long this continues to go. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. We'll catch you again. Probably next time we'll be in July.
Yep. Later. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Nice.
So that was the action at Koshien, and how'd you like that? As we speak right now and as you listen to us, Interleague is just about over. We've got games on Saturday and Sunday to finish up against the Cebu Lions, and hopefully we can end with a couple of wins. Win on a Saturday for once, for the first time since May the 4th, that'd be nice. And the reason for that is because we've actually got Saturday, Sunday, and provided there's no rainouts, we're off until the next Saturday and Sunday when we go to Nagoya Dome and face the Chunichi Dragons. Which I can't think of a better way to get out of Interleague. I mean, hopefully, there's that word again. But, you know, we're playing against a team that is not very good. And even though Nagoya Dome is not friendly to us, it actually has not been as unfriendly to us in recent years, like in the last, say, 3 years, as it was prior to that. So I feel good about that. And then we've got actually just one game before we meet up again if we stay on this schedule, and that would be July the 2nd in our favorite stadium in all of Japan, Yokohama, facing the Bay Stars for a 3-set there. So how do y'all feel? I mean, we've only probably got like 5 games until our next episode, but do you feel like the Tigers are going to start to turn things around? Do you think going back to the CL is going to be what helps us to find our mojo again, or what? So what are you thinking about that, JD?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not hopeful for the rest of Interleague, to be honest with you. I hope they win the game that we're at, obviously, but it's not looking too good. You know, maybe the break that we have after Interleague, that'll be enough time to sort of shake off the post-Interleague hangover, and we can go into Nagoya Dome and clean up there. And, you know, you always figure we're going to take at least 2 out of 3 in Yokohama, so we'll see. But, yeah, I'm kind of honestly looking forward to putting Interleague in the rearview mirror at this point.
Well, Interleague is always a challenge for our team, and this year is proving no different. I'd like to see us do better against Rakuten, and I guess Cebu is coming up, and, you know, the Lions versus Tigers, Tigers-Lions, you know. Let's go and do what we can do. But I do think that when we get back to the Central League is when the team seems to do a lot better. We seem to have a lot of trouble when we face new pitchers and first-time rookies and all this kind of thing. And we seem to do better when it's a second or third or fourth or fifth time going around playing against some of these opponents. So I'm very hopeful. Yeah, and you know, not Sugano, but in general, I'm hoping that when we face more familiar opponents that we are playing at our best.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the ideal, is that, you know, we pound on the guys that we know. And especially, you know, like when we win in Interleague, of course, our progress in the division is always dependent on how the other teams do. But we can actually literally help ourselves and do ourselves huge favors by winning against the Central League opponents. And so that's where we've got to get it done. And hopefully we will. So everyone, it has been great to talk to you on this, the 100th episode of H10. Although I've got something to break to you. This is actually episode number 101. It's just that they were numbered kind of funky in the early years. So if you go back in the archives, there's an episode 15 and there's an episode 15 extra. And they're actually both full episodes. So technically speaking, this is the 101st time that we're coming at you on the airwaves. But also, if you didn't know this, we also come at you on the video waves. Every time that we go to Koshien, I break out the Facebook Live, typically, and I might start doing some Twitter Live or some Instagram as well, but also, we do a vodcast. We always do like a short post-game analysis, and we post that up on the YouTubes. So if you go to YouTube and you look for H10, you'll find us there. I recommend that you subscribe to that because you're going to find some good analysis and some post-game excitement and fun. So thanks again for listening to us. And we are going to continue into the second century of podcasts in a couple of weeks. Go to all the usual places and find us there and subscribe and comment. We always love hearing from y'all, so please feel free to do that. If anybody out there has listened to episodes 1 through 100, hit me up, let me know. You deserve a gold star or 100 gold stars or even a prize, and there might be something for you. So let me know. But either way, I'd love to hear your comments, and so would JD and so would Sanjay. So thanks again for doing what you do, and we're going to continue to do what we do, and we'll catch you again for century number 2. Have a good fortnight, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
Aloha.